in my construction career, I thought I was learning the trade fairly quickly. So I went up to my boss and I had the nerve to ask him for a raise. And he handed me a broom. And he said, "Okay, go sweep the roof." That was a joke. It's the only roof.
I get it.
It's the only roofing joke I know. I got a raise because
it was a vertical one. It wasn't because
I was sweeping the kitchen floor, and he had me climb a ladder and sweep the roof.
How long did that last?
About the rest of the day. It was a pretty big house.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that was McGrath Builders in Paradise Valley, about 1976. I still remember that house. He had an excellent, excellent crew of carpenters that taught me a ton. They really were some of the finest tradesmen I've ever been exposed to. We're here at Rosie on the House. We're here with Brandon of Pinnacle Roofing, talking about the roofing materials that we like. And we were talking about foam roofing, and we've got a bevy of questions here. I want to repeat my request for homework assignment to our listeners. We need, for a video documentary that we are building, I need a vintage Maricopa County home, one built in the 50s, one built in the 60s, one built in the 70s, one built in the 80s, and one built in the 90s. We're looking for five different homes in as near original vintage condition as possible. Please send us a photo and a short description and an address of the house to Rosie, info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we will contact you, do a little site visit, and see if it fits. We want to do a documentary on, depending on when your house was built, what can you expect in the way of energy efficiency and quality of life? Where should you start in making improvements in any of these two areas? And we're going to make this for the purpose of trying to save you people money from chasing solutions and spending a lot of money that do nothing. Okay?
Santo in Phoenix, been holding the longest. How may we help you?
Morning, guys. I had a question. This is on a tile roof, and it's not a flat roof. It's a pitched roof. It was built 14 years ago. In January, we moved in 14 years ago. And ever since we've been in the house, I've had the same leaking problem in a room, and they never really fixed it, the roofer that actually put the roofs on in this area. Anyway, I got a... In this last rainstorm, I have a rain gauge, and the two storms that we had 3 inches of rain here at my house, but I have two leaks, one in the garage on the west wall and one in the den, and I've had them for quite a while. So I got three bids from different roofers, and one of them was from one of your recommendations.
Good.
What I was going to say is... In over the years I've had roofers with the same problems in the same area, they all want to sell you a new roof. Seems like most of them want to sell you a new roof. But anyway, I've got a guy coming over on Monday, and he told me that there's install additional flashing and underlayment near the fireplace, which kind of rolls down towards our den. And he says, I don't know why they've never seen that spot before. And then he's also going to replace some of the paper down where the leak was, because the paper is no longer good because of the water, I guess, settling in that area, and also the sticks. But anyway, his bid was a very good bid, and it was recommended by a friend of mine that used him and says he won't try to sell you a whole new roof. He'll fix the problem. Oh, and these other guys, they all want to sell you a new roof. They bid real high on the bids, and hoping that you'll say, well, what does a new roof cost? And you know, you'll see that it's not that far. I mean, the bids were ridiculous that I got. I couldn't believe the pricing that they're giving me.
Yeah, this is what we call remove and replace a tile roof, 14 years old. Brandon, what are you seeing? And we're going to answer your question, but we're going to answer it globally so everyone with a 14-year-old tile roof will know what to do when they're reaching this condition. Now, the fact you've been leaking from day one is certainly discouraging. But a 14-year-old tile roof built by a typical, what we call merchant builder, what are they? The tile roof is not your roof. That's just a decoration.
Yeah, it's the underlaying, but under the tile. And yeah. Most likely, the caller that's calling is probably has just one layer of 30-pound or a 40-pound felt.
What do you mean pound? What's a pound?
It's the thickness of the felt paper. Like they put a 15-pound or a 30-pound felt under a shingle as a base layer.
Okay.
And is that how many pounds of pressure to rip it? Is that pounds per square? Is that
pounds per square?
Okay.
And so a 40, if they have one layer of 40-pound, most likely it's deteriorated. It's drying out. There's cracks in it. And that's why he has leaks.
And in roofing, a square is 10 by 10, a 100-foot section. And if it's a pitched roof, it's obviously you're going to have a lot more square footage on your roof than your floor plan.
That's correct.
Now talk to me, Brandon, as this roof was being installed for this man, let's assume it's 40-pound. Talk the listeners through how that 40-pound goes down, then what happens next, and then what happens next.
Well, they roll out the 40-pound, and that's nailed down, and then they put the 1x2 furring strips on top of that, and the tile gets loaded up
on
the
roof. And talk about those 1x2 furring strips. How are they attached?
With nails.
That go through the paper.
Nails or staples.
Yeah, okay.
Through the paper.
No way to attach it to the roof deck without sending a hole through your waterproofing membrane.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
All right. So then what happens next?
And then they load the tile up there. And then when the house is stuccoed and painted, the roofers come in last and lay the tile out. So your underlayment's exposed for 6 months or 8 months while the house is being built, with just stacks of tile up there.
Right. Then the tile get laid. Then we have a couple dust storms. Then we have some rain, and that little wet mud starts accumulating on the top sides of those 1x2. Could possibly jam up the gap that's between the two of them. And you're all your water saturating, sitting above that 1x2 dam, getting to a nail that's driven a hole right through your roofing, weatherproofing.
That's correct.
It's a system designed to fail.
It is, yes. That's why we like to use the SBS modified underlayments under tile.
And that's why this caller had the anxiety he had in his voice about the prices he's seeing. If I were king for a day, I wouldn't let builders put a single layer down anymore. At the very least, it's a double layer of 40, but y'all are putting in this. Basically, that's basically a bitchethane roof you're putting on before you ever put your first furring strip on.
That's correct.
Okay. So it self heals around every single nail, and you're putting in the flow direction strips as opposed to the 1x2s.
The plastic Burrell custom flow through is what it's called, furring strips. Yes, it's designed so the water can travel through that instead of ponding on the top of the 1x2 there. The traditional wood stick.
Yeah.
The flow throughs it allows the water to pass through under and less chance for leaks.
One of the other concerns the caller had is, look, everybody wants to remove and replace. If I were a roofer and I were looking at a 15-year-old roof that only had one layer of 40-pound felt in it, I'd be very nervous about telling this homeowner, yes, I can come in and just fix one area for you. Because as soon as I touch this area over here, the problem always is going to grow because that paper gets so brittle.
Yeah, you know, Rosie, in years past, we tried to do spot repairs.
Yeah.
And we found when it rains next time, they call up, hey, I still have a leak.
Yeah.
You can't do spot. We don't do spot repairs. We want to go from the bottom up to the ridge, 20 feet this way, 20 feet that way, put all new underlayment, new flashing, at least on that section of the roof. You know, if you can't afford to do the whole roof, maybe just do that part of it.
Yeah.
But
you can walk away from it and confidently knowing that roof that I touched isn't going to leak.
Yeah, that's correct.
You're not going to get that call the second rain. So I can appreciate the caller's anxiety. If he has someone that wants to try and give it a patch repair that comes as a recommendation, certainly going to be significantly less than a remove and replace. But if I had three other roofers take a look at it and tell me, look, this felt's about lived its life, it's brittle, you're on the very verge of losing all the roof, I'd think about it before I spent money chasing a leak in a patch.
That sounds like it's been there a long time.
Three qualified roofers tell me I need a new roof. I'm gonna weigh their words very heavy before I proceed.
And like Brandon said, if you don't have you can't do it all at one time. Do the back pitch, then the front pitch.
I do the leaky pitch first.
The leaky pitch. Which, yeah, start with the leaky pitch.
Start with the leaky pitch.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Let's run to Tucson. Bring Gary into the conversation. Good morning, sir. How may we help you?
Yeah. What about neighborhoods that have strict codes that you're not supposed to put a white roof or a white mixture on top of the roof because it just looks out of place.
Right.
And I had a cedar shingle roof. When I bought the house, it needed to be replaced. I put on the thickest asphalt shingle that I could.
Good.
It was colored in such a way it looked like a cedar shingle roof, but of course it was just asphalt.
Okay.
So what do you do with neighborhood associations that say you can't do it? Can't put a white roof on?
Oh, you're stuck. That's where the policing authority, the homeowners association, stands firm. A lot of times, you're going to want to go to a lighter colored roof to reduce the temperature of the surface of the roof. They actually make heat reflective darker colors now. If that's the thing you're chasing, to try and reflect heat, you can actually get some of the asphalt three tab shingle, fiberglass reinforced shingles in a heat reflective darker color now. But homeowners association, God bless them, they are what they are, and they're trying to maintain a certain standard. And if the homeowners association decided they didn't want a lot of highly reflective roof colors in the neighborhood, and you're in that homeowners association, I hope you like your cedar shake colored asphalt shingle.
Some people can't imagine living without a homeowners association. If you're moving into one, read the bylaws. I can't imagine living in one. It's just that, like you said, they serve a purpose.
The first time we moved to New River, I had the vision of building little ranchette homeowners associations. I think that's something you ought to think about. You know, in our neighborhood, a homeowners association says no roosters. Well, there's two back there I hear every single morning. Now, nobody's gone over and killed the roosters. I think the neighborhood just kind of likes the country feel to it. But every time I sit on the back patio and hear that roofer in the roofer.
It's a roost.
It's Rosie on the house. We'll be back.
Every time I hear that rooster on the roof.